Go to the App Store and search Rich Thomas Weather. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
When it comes to serving your financial needs, CB&S Bank, formerly Prime South Bank, is committed to providing you the best possible customer experience. Enjoy the same great service from the same familiar faces you know and trust. Come see them today. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Phones, tablets, laptops, and desktops. All completely useless. That is, unless you have internet. Then those blank screens become wondrous rectangles of pure enjoyment. News, sports, games, true crime, memes, cats. Photographs of you, taken by you. Fill all your devices with the good stuff. Super fast internet, no data caps. Just $24.99 per month. All from a company you'll love. Sign up today at Huawei.com. Offer for new customers for 12 months with a 2-year agreement and auto pay. Equipment taxes and fees extra subject to change. Restrictions apply.
Hey, have you heard about what's happening at Wind Creek Casino and Hotel?
No, but I've heard it's the coolest casino and hotel ever.
Well, now, if you join Wind Creek Rewards, they'll reimburse you with free play for up to $1,000.
They'll give me back as much as $1,000?
I know, right? They call it the new player promise. And they'll also throw in some free food so we don't go hungry.
Well, what are we waiting for? Let's go to Wind Creek Casino and Hotel.
New members only. Minimum $75 loss required. Visit WinCreek.com for complete rules.
Sounds like a job for AC by Luquire.
It's our third annual truckload sale. And have we got an irresistible offer for you. Get a brand new Carrier air conditioning and heating system from AC by Luquire. And save 20%. Plus get 0% interest financing with approved credit. Turn to the experts at ACByLuquire.com today to see how you can save on a brand new Carrier system. That's ACByLuquire.com.
Sounds like a job for AC by Luquire.
This hour of the program brought to you in part by our good friends over at Alabama Home Mortgage. Alabama Home Mortgage, 567-4223, 567-4223, on the web, ALAHomeMortgage.com. NMLS number 1586368, Equal Housing Lender.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers. Time for news and views from 9 till noon. Montgomery's conversational radio show. To join the conversation, call 272-9228. It's news and views from 9 till noon. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM.
Guys, welcome back in. It's 4.5 minutes after, almost 5 minutes after 10 o'clock. Jack Campbell, Baron Coleman, Dave Bowery here with you on a daily basis. The mayor of the great city of Montgomery for another 3 months or so.
70 days. We counted it this morning.
70 days.
Yep.
Another 2 months or so.
Yep. And I'm not counting down. I'm counting up because there's still a couple things I need to get done before that sayonara kicks
in. What else do you have to get done?
Got to get conversion charter schools done. We got to get a contract with the community over what the priorities are with the spending of education and hopefully get that to be a contract when and if there's ever an effort to try to get additional revenue, maybe in the November of 2020 time frame. But until that happens, the Board of Education's got to demonstrate that, and the superintendent's got to demonstrate that they got intestinal fortitude to do the right thing on behalf of our kids.
What do you think about the, let's start city council. What do you think about the city council elections? Any surprises?
I was a bit surprised that William Green didn't even make the runoff. I thought that was interesting. CC, of course, being a former, the AEA, I guess, back candidate is in there with him. CC is a good guy. Do not personally know the other person. The John Dow issue, I've kind of thought John would have a chance. Obviously, he's in a runoff, but, there's three. What's the third one? I can't remember.
C.C. Calhoun's in a runoff.
Tracy Larkin.
Tracy Larkin,
Phyllis
yeah.
Harvey Hall.
Yeah, Phyllis Harvey.
And John Dow and Aronde Mitchell in a runoff, yeah. And then Tracy Larkin almost got there without a
right.
roll-off.
Yeah, I think Tracy's got some great ideas. My only issue with things that Tracy tries to do, the results are always good, and we try to accommodate the results, but we're just not into to building bureaucratic empires to accomplish stuff. I think we can do it with technology. You can do it with less people. And obviously, we've been able to do that. We got 350 less people than when we took office.
Wow.
From that standpoint, 311 has been a huge, huge, huge benefit to us. And the fact that we've got pretty aggressive people that are out there. His whole concept of cleaning our city and ridding it of dilapidation and those kind of things, that's a noble and worthy cause. And we can do that as we've been doing through $500,000 or so. And tearing down 120 to 140 dilapidated structures and getting a lot of abatements with weeds and things like that. So I think he'll be fine.
There were eight city council races. Four of them went without runoffs.
And Charlie didn't have an opposition.
Well, yep. He didn't run. He didn't even have anybody. Well, he's been right. there since 1827. People probably think he's fairly established. Glenn Pruitt got the high vote total of the day. 3,176 votes, almost 69% of the vote. Clay McInnes, 62% of the vote.
That's a good win.
Yeah. Audrey Billups Graham, 68% of the vote.
All right.
And then, actually, I guess there were five that got over 60%. Brantley Lyons and Richard Bollinger.
You know, kind of tells you that people are pretty satisfied with the direction that things are going. You know, we work really
except
well.
Except for William Green.
Well,
you know my problem with William Green. He don't know. I mean, he's just out to lunch. Yeah. Like he might be a great ideas guy or whatever.
Well, he's a great computer person. I mean, obviously,
that's what I'm saying. He might be, but like it doesn't seem like anybody knows him. Like you ask around town, they're like,
You know, at the end of the day, in your respective districts, you got to work with the city administration to get stuff accomplished. You know, Richard Bollinger is a great example of that. He comes with these ideas, and we can't, you know, we say we never let money get in the way of the vision. It gets in the way of the timing, and he's been very patient on various projects that we, over a multiple-year process time frame, get things done. I hope somebody asked me if you're going to have an experienced council and an inexperienced mayor. I hope that the mayor's smart enough to know that the council can be helpful to him and they work together and get things accomplished on behalf of our citizens.
Is it too cheap to run for mayor?
Too cheap?
Yeah.
Too easy to get on the ballot. Process.
Oh, geez. I mean, what do you got to have? $300 or something like that and some signatures. You know, we had a couple that didn't get the requisite number of signatures because you always got to get more than what's required because they actually check them. And if you're not a registered voter, you get knocked off. That's what happened to David Sadler. I think he came 8 short or something like that to get it done. It's too cheap and it didn't pay enough either because it lends itself to those that have the wherewithal to not worry about a compensation as the mayor. We tried two different times. It's incredible that the legislature controls the Montgomery mayor's compensation and the city council's compensation. Both times, our legislative delegation said, "Nope, we're not gonna raise that from 95 to 125, which would be not even the midpoint, but the lower point of the other big city business mayor, which is fine, but it does keep those that." Have to feed their families and haven't already been successful from a financial standpoint from running.
You have, God love him, people like Hobbs and Cox got 92 votes.
Yeah.
Butler Browder, 127 votes. Ron Davis, 186 votes.
What did Bebby get?
Shannon Ferrari, 277. Bebby Simmons got 155 votes.
Yes, sir, man.
He only had one precinct in the entire city where he did not get a vote, which is fairly impressive.
I was going to say, must be ones that don't.
He's got a base.
Doesn't believe in marijuana or something.
Well, that one guy.
Yeah.
But I look at that and I think, why would you pay $350? Like if you're Hobson Cox, you pay $350, you go get the signatures, and then you don't do anything and you get 92 votes. Why?
I think, you know, Hobson ran against me the second time. Uh-huh. I got 85 or so percent. Hobson's a good guy.
He's a great guy.
He's got great ideas, business person.
Then run for office.
Well, if you're going to run for office, at least you ought to articulate why you're running.
That's
and
what
he
I'm
didn't
saying.
Show up for the debates. I mean, he had no publicity or anything like that. So
didn't raise any money?
The answer is I can't answer it.
Yeah, I kind of wish he'd call back in. He used to call in here all the time, and then he kind of quit.
Hey, you ought to get him on your show.
I'm not chasing people now.
That's right. You don't like call-ins, do you?
Yeah, not really.
That's why you got two extra sidekicks now.
That's right.
Y'all can dominate the time frame.
We are our own guests.
Yeah. But the thing about it, all of you guys are the same. You know, you don't have any controversy. You don't have any real...
the same.
Well, is anybody liberal in here?
Jack.
No, yeah. Right. He's gone all the way around. He's so right that he's
Ryan
left.
Comes around and kicks himself in the, you know what.
Well, need a little controversy here.
We used to have Josh Moon in here on
Man. Did y'all read the latest thing he wrote?
Man. I try not to.
I know.
I haven't read anything he's written in a year or two, probably. Unless somebody sends it to me and says, you in particular need to read this because of.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't just go reading Moon if I can avoid it. He just, it's the same article every week. Republicans are bad, Alabama's stupid.
Right. Republicans are racist.
Yeah, I mean, whatever.
Every week.
David Woods and Stephen Reed, that's your runoff. Is there any cause for concern in the city of Montgomery?
No. That is surprising, frankly, because, you know, again, you've run some polls along the way for us with your friend Anceloni. This is one where the polls lost. Because Stephen never got above 30%. He gets 42%. And David Woods in the polls was never second in the polls. And so at the end of the day, you know, he beats the number three person by a pretty good bit.
Yeah.
42-24 from that standpoint. So it's going to be interesting. Now, David Woods, I don't know if he'll self-fund or not, but if there's some people that will support him, I'm sure his message will get out there. Stephen's had a lot of out-of-state, out-of-city endorsements. I don't know whether that's good, bad, or indifferent. Frankly, everybody was asking me, well, why'd Walt Maddox support Stephen Reed? Well,
he's got his own problems in Tuscaloosa.
Well, but not only that, though, that's called payback. Because when he ran for governor, who supported him?
ADC.
Joe Reed,
yep.
ADC. And so from that standpoint, I mean, that was almost a given. The presidential candidate, that came out of left field, although she did make an appearance here. I don't think that hurts. I just don't know.
I don't know that it moves the needle. I don't know that enough people know who she is to move the needle either way.
Yeah, he's an attractive candidate. He's got a good-looking family. He's articulate. You know, David's got he's presenting himself as the business person that, you know, has got some vision that's been successful, and he has. But as you know, Dave, just because you're a successful businessman doesn't necessarily make a good mayor, because everybody says, I'm glad a businessman's in there. Well, you cannot run government like a business.
No.
But there are a ton of business principles that you can apply. I think David Woods will defend himself well, and I think it'll be an interesting election.
I think you sort of hinted at it, but you sort of danced around it. I'm going to say it directly. I don't believe these election results for a second.
I believe them when they say I'm going to win, and I do.
Yeah, I don't believe them for a second. The polls are not usually all
right
wrong the same way.
Right.
And there was an hour and 45-minute lag after the precincts closed before a single vote was released in any precinct. The House District 74 stuff didn't even get released until like 10:30 at night.
Well, I can give you some reasons for that.
Well, I understand that. But if you wanted to structure something to guarantee Stephen Reed wins, you would have Glenn Pruitt's district, Clay McInnes' district, Brantley Lyons district, and Richard Bollinger's district all win without a runoff. Because that keeps all those people home. There's no city council race in there. And then you only have runoffs in your black district. C.C. Calhoun, John Dow, what was the other one?
So you think Tracy it's Larkin orchestrated that way?
I don't think anybody that went in and voted had their vote actually counted. I think this was all pre-programmed.
I promise you, every vote that got counted,
I don't believe it.
Every vote that got cast or respective candidate, I can assure you, it ended up in that candidate's column. Now,
I don't
believe the timing. There were some breakdowns in some of the procedures within the election center. There's breakdowns in procedures over at the polling places. They closed. They didn't post the results. They, rather than waiting for the police or waiting for the sheriff to come, they took it upon themselves to bring it in. You lose custody. There were a couple of sticks that got pulled out prematurely that had to go back and be recounted. You had to get a judge.
That all smells, Todd. I don't care what you say. That stinks. I've been around this stuff for a long time,
especially when you consider every single poll got it wrong, and every single poll agreed with every single poll. Stephen Reed was at 27-29 in every poll I saw, like 6 or 8 different polls, and he ends up at 42. David Woods was like at 10 or 12 and everything, with J.C. Love and Artur Davis, and they were all at the same. They were all right in there together. And then on election day, David Woods is twice what all those other people are. And Stephen Reed adds a mysterious 15 points to it. It's unheard of. It's unprecedented in elections. It just doesn't happen. And I'm telling you, I don't believe these results.
What is your recommendation to fix it?
I think
don't let the probate judge run this election.
I think John Merrill needs to oversee this election, or the feds, one or the other.
Well,
the runoff.
John Merrill doesn't have that authority, but he can, in fact, make the request.
Yeah. Daryl Parker, the chief of the elections division, on WSFA News at 6 o'clock in the evening, while the polls were still open, telling everybody we're going to have a black mayor was awfully telling.
Yeah.
I mean, there were 2 white candidates on the ballot, and people were actually casting ballots.
Yeah. I did not see that. I haven't actually seen any clips of that. But that's just wrong. Yeah. And he, if that in fact happened, then he ought to be reprimanded by his boss.
Well, his boss is the one on the ballot that they're cooking it for.
Well, he still needs to be reprimanded.
Yeah, he needs to be fired. He doesn't need to be reprimanded. The guy doesn't need to be anywhere near an election ever again. I will play you the clip. This may not be the best technology here, but I'm going to play it anyway.
Let's see if it works.
In Montgomery, in our lifetime. Why do you say that?
Because it represents a change in Montgomery. The population shift has caused a majority change in the population in the city of Montgomery. And this is one of the first times they've had a chance to vote for mayor. And so that's going to make, that's going to spark a change. And so the 21st century is here now, and it's going to be represented in this election.
I didn't hear that.
We have a majority change in this city. It's the first time the majority change has had a chance to vote. The vote will reflect that change, and the 21st century is here. You didn't hear we're going to have a black mayor right there?
I didn't hear that. No.
Oh, come on.
I understand you got to be nice because Stephen Reed's going to replace you in all likelihood, but come on. This is not a fair election. This election was unfair from the beginning. John Merrill should get in there, take custody of all the ballots, count them by hand, tell us what actually happened.
Well, you can't count them by hand. They're in this flash drive.
There are paper ballots sitting in those wells. Grab them and count them.
Well, we actually take control of those ballots.
Count them.
We do have those ballots.
Count them.
You want us to?
Yeah, I do. I do not believe these numbers.
You want to put up the money to do that?
Nah, come on. I'll do it. I'll come out there and count them. Is it 25,000 votes?
I don't think that you're certified.
43,000.
Yeah, 43,000 votes?
Yeah.
They need to be counted.
That's also telling, 31% this historic election.
Yeah. They need to be counted. Or at least sampled. Grab a sample.
31%, what do you mean, of the voters actually voted?
Yes.
What 31%. Percent black, what percent white?
Can't answer that one.
They're not listed that way.
Well,
we'll be back.
If it concerns your community, you'll hear about it on News Talk 93.1. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
From Granger Thagard Real Estate Auctioneers comes an absolute estate auction in the River Region, strategically located near the Tallapoosa River south of Wetumpka and above Montgomery's Northern Bypass. Both commercial and residential sites are offered. Commercial lots in a business park, acreage on US 231, and residential lots with frontage on 2 sides are all offered absolute to the highest bidders on Wednesday, September 11th at the Hampton Inn, Wetumpka. See our website at gtauctions.com for more information. Auction is presented by Granger Thagard & Associates, Inc., Jack F. Granger, CAI 8.
8873.
Try Sinclair's East. Fine dining. Vaughn at Taylor.
I brought Dirk Swofford with me today, who's been a co-worker and a good friend of mine for years. Everybody knows him. He's a great waiter, and two-thirds, three-fourths of the crowd that comes in tonight wants Dirk to wait on him because he's a first-class great waiter and a good man and has lots of stories for the little kids.
Dinner at Sinclair's is a great experience. We have such a nice and large and varied menu that no matter who comes in there, we're going to have something you're going to like.
Dirk knows what's good.
We've got a shrimp pesto to die for. The way they make that pesto sauce, you want to slap your grandma.
Try a burger break at Sinclair's.
Got a lot of great burgers at Sinclair's. They're all hand-patty. There's nothing prefab about our place. We have some great cooks, and they are dedicated, and they love to put out some great food. And we got some great servers, and they like serving that great food.
Sinclair's East. Fine dining. Vaughn at Taylor.
Hey guys, Baron Coleman here for my friend Riley Manning at Riley Manning Painting. When you've been the gold standard in the painting contracting business for 49 years like Riley Manning Painting, you learn a thing or two about customer satisfaction and getting the job right. That's why he offers the Riley Manning Painting Guarantee. You pay only after the job is complete and only after you are satisfied. Every Riley Manning job comes with that A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and trained professional painters. Give Riley Manning a call today, 799-1284, 799-1284, or check him out online, RileyManningPainting.com.
This hour of the program brought to you in part by our good friends over at Alabama Home Mortgage. Alabama Home Mortgage, 567-4223, 567-4223, on the web, ALAHomeMortgage.com. NMLS number 1586368, Equal Housing Lender.
Guys, 23 minutes after 10 o'clock. Is there an Electric Avenue in Montgomery? I saw an old map in Montgomery. There was a Lake Electric where Forest Hills is now. It was right. It covered Atlanta Highway. Those big drains right there behind Forest.
If I'm not mistaken, that's where the rail ran out to a park out there.
Yeah, and there's a big lake out there.
Right.
And then they ended up draining it. It's like the early 1900s.
Yeah, before Oak Park.
Our friend Greg Wren over at Cornerstone Managing General Agency does a fantastic job on a daily basis. The mayor of the city of Montgomery has run a few insurance benefits programs in his life, I'm sure, with his business background and managing the city for the last 10 or 11 years. But Greg Wren does the exact same thing on a daily basis for employers all over the River region, really all over the state of Alabama. It's amazing what he's able to do. To get you, I mean, basically you become your own HR professional. They've got a free computer program they give you, and you can manage your employee benefits packages. You can compare prices and plans and programs and get everybody enrolled. Cornerstone Managing General Agency, the only people around here I know that are doing it, but you just got to call them, 356-1502, 356-1502, cornerstonemga.com on the website, cornerstonemga.com. Greg Grant over at Cornerstone Managing General Agency, give him a call today. 25 minutes after 10 o'clock, the mayor's in. Anyway, I'll put the election aside. I'm not going to sit here and hark on it for 2 hours.
What are your thoughts on this water park? I haven't been here in the last few months when you've been on. But,
right.
what are your thoughts on that?
I think it's a great opportunity, but it has to be done correctly. And it's been around for a while. It's been 4.5, 5 years for this came up. It's a great idea. In my view, what I've been trying to do from a city standpoint is to protect the investment that we will make, which is the contribution of the property and the monies that we will spend aiding the Salvation Army moving somewhere else.
Is this over near Powder Magazine Park?
Yeah, it is Powder Magazine. It's the old Riverside Heights that the city's been owning since the land swap back in the either Emory or Bobby Bright days. We've had to assimilate another 8 or 10 pieces. The Salvation Army main piece is in play, but there's some parcels just on the other side of that side road that would be helpful if we could just be able to get this. The reason that it's kind of been around for a while, we've been treating this as an economic development project. And when it first came up, we looked at it, and we, the city, had just done the $100 million bond issue. We were wrestling with the waste energy recycling facility. And so we just didn't feel that we needed to bite off a $35 to $50 million endeavor. So we went to the county, and they gave us lots of credit for obviously what's been done downtown, what's been done at Garrett Coliseum, what's been done with the, not Garrett Coliseum, but the Crampton Bowl, the multiplex, et cetera. And said, you know, we want to do something to help the quality of life in Montgomery. So they agreed to take on the major lifting on the financing, and so they took $35 million, which is going to be funded by a rental tax. We already have a rental tax. They did not have a rental tax, so that's in place now. So they can do a bond that would fund that. We did get the state to kick in some money. We did get some other private sector to kick in some money. So it is sort of ready to go. But one of the issues is, until we were able to get all of the properties, these 8 or 10 that were in the way, right in the way, we really couldn't talk about it much because property values started going up. We, as of 3 weeks ago now, have the last piece under contract, or and maybe even closed. So we've got the wherewithal to do it. Then the next thing that we got to make sure of.
Did Elton Bean close all those properties?
No, but
I figured I'd ask.
A friend of ours. I'll tell you exactly. It was the water sewer board, because they had got a big interest. There's a lot of water in this deal, and so they fronted closing that, and there was about $1.2 million, $1.3 million to get that done. Regardless, if the water park doesn't go, which I think it is, it's still a valuable piece of property. We've got a lease on the Corps of Engineer on Powder Magazine down by the river. You can't build anything. That's where the hiking trails and the jogging trails and zip lines and all that kind of stuff are going. But the one thing that we got to make sure of is the same thing that has happened in Oklahoma and happened in the early days at Charlotte. We got to make sure that we got the wherewithal for 3 or 4 years to ramp it up, because it's not going to be day one. You're going to not have 300,000 visitors. Daravi says that to break even, it takes 67,000. And that doesn't even include the locals, because the locals, rather than going to the movies, they'll go out there. So he didn't count that.
Yeah, that was my question.
So 67,000 is
what's the ticket price going to be to get in?
It's going to be in that 50 buck range.
No one's going to the water park instead of the movies if it's 50 bucks.
Well, maybe not.
The movie costs $8.
But anyway, at the end of the day, we now have got $3 to $5 million in the pro forma that would be a ramp up. But at the end of the day, I will tell you that the county is, in fact, the bond issuer, and they're the guarantee of the bond. And at the end of the day, this cooperative
district. Who owns it? Who's going to end up owning it?
There is a cooperative district that has been formed, I think, that includes, that it involves the county.
Who else owns it?
That's it.
Just the county.
Yeah, the operator, the Nantahala Outdoor Adventures, will have risk in their operating fee. Will be at risk if debt service isn't covered. They give up a certain portion at the front.
Where'd they come from?
They're in the Carolinas. They're the ones
running the other one in Charlotte?
Not running it, but they were the ones that were part of the development piece. And a guy out of California who's a kayak Olympian, he's been a consultant. Economic group has been a consultant. We've had Dave Borden looking at it, and Kevon Daravi. So due diligence has been done on it, and we've got this one little piece. Then I think contracts can be initiated.
When you said there was swap, didn't the Housing Authority own all that?
Yes, it did. That's where Riverside Heights was. Yeah, and
now
the city,
who owns it now? The city.
Yeah, the city does. The city, in a land swap, the Housing Authority sold it to the city for $12 million, previous administration, and then the city, with its ownership, swapped that with some equal value land from the Air Force. And then there was a little piece in the back, maybe 6 acres, that was right in the middle of it. But we've been working for about 3 or 4 years to do another land swap. There was no money. It was just land was swapped to the side behind Walt McGriff's piece and the little park out front. We got, they got that, and we got this little parcel that was there. We had the fence around it, so that fence will go down. And that didn't actually get done until the July time frame, so that was the other issue about why we could not announce it earlier.
So the county will own it. This will be a Montgomery County.
It will be a cooperative district,
but owned wholly by
that's correct
by Montgomery County.
That's right. They'll have board members, and those board members may or may not be county commissioners. You might get a few business people on that particular board.
And you said there's some private money as well. Who put in the private money?
The Poarch Creek Indians have made a commitment of some money to be part of that.
And then you said, you offhandedly said, if the water park doesn't go, and then you said, I think it will, why wouldn't it go?
I can't think of any reason, unless for whatever reason the capital stack can't be met. But right now we've got commitments of $45 million for construction and then another $5 million in operation. The Salvation Army is an impediment today, but it's just a matter of value. Their land that we would be purchasing was appraised by them at $2.5 million, and so from a governmental standpoint, you ought to be paying something in that range to acquire that particular property. Now, treating it as an economic development project, and you have $50 million of investment, you're going to have 125 jobs. There would be some incentives that would be available to them, and that's kind of where we are right now.
And why did we settle on the Kalahari Group to run it?
Not the Kalahari, it's the Nantahala, because they're the premier
Kalahari.
Nantahala.
How do you spell Nantahala?
Nantahala. Nantahala.
They are the premier.
It's a river that runs from North Carolina to the coast through Georgia.
They're an outdoors type organization. They're some of the premier
they're operators. They're like the folks that you want doing one of these things.
Yep.
Okay. I'm just asking the questions.
Yep. Now, I got to tell you, the due diligence has been extensive and pervasive. And I'll tell you, we probably have close to $2 million invested in this particular park and the due diligence and the land acquisition. Again, the land acquisition piece, we never had a vision for this type of environment. We did have a vision for high-rise retail, things like that.
Where's the Salvation Army going?
I don't know. That'll be up to them.
But they've agreed to move?
They've agreed to move if we can agree on value.
What do they want for their land?
I think that's a private negotiation. We'll just stay right there right now.
Higher than we want to pay for it, obviously?
Yes.
Yes. They're real proud of that piece of property?
Yes.
I can imagine.
Yes.
I can imagine. Especially now they got a water park next
door. But at the end of the day, that's a dilapidated piece of property. It's in terrible shape. They need to expand their mission. They need to move on to different missions and to job training. They don't need to send their residents out during the day to loiter around, ostensibly going to find jobs. They need to train them right there for job training, education, GED, computers, all that kind of stuff. They need a bigger enough facility to be able to do that on site.
You think the people going to the Salvation Army are going to get jobs and get degrees and all that?
Yes.
Have you ever been down there?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, some of them maybe, but most of those...
When I say degree, you're talking about GEDs.
Well, no, but most of those people are mentally ill. They're not going anywhere.
Well, some might be, but...
I see them out there. They babble to themselves on the side of the road right in front of me.
Well, let's just don't cast the whole blanket around Salvation Army as not worthy people, because
they're worthy people. They're humans, but I'm just saying they...
They can be trained, yes. They can be trained. Because
okay.
Many of them that are staying there today, see, they're going to stay there for 30
days.
It's 30 days, I think.
Yeah.
It's 30 days. But some of them are gainfully employed around there, and they choose that because it's a decent place to have roof over your head, but it is very dilapidated.
Yeah. Bo Goodson over at the Goodson Group, he's a real estate professional. He would probably love to get in on some of these awesome acquisitions going on around the city.
We did have a licensed real estate developer who has no connectivity to politics.
Good. Good for him. Bo Goodson, man, if you have a house for sale, if you want
want to move, if you want to buy a house here in the River Region, need a buyer's agent, or maybe you just have a house, you want somebody to manage the real estate investment that you have sunk your hard-earned money into, Bo Goodson can take care of all of that and more. 215-4440, that's his number. No, that's Troy King's number.
he'd appreciate a call, too.
551-0225. That's his number. 551-0225. I have so many phone numbers stuck in my head from all these businesses. 551-0225. Let's go. Troy King's a good guy. Call him if you need anything. Don't call him for real estate, but, you know, if you get run over.
He can't close a real estate transaction.
You know what? If he holds the property, there's a new law. If you hold the property for a client, you can close without you can sell the insurance without a license.
Oh, I'm not talking about Bo. I'm talking about Troy King.
No, Bo Goodson can do it. Bo Goodson can do whatever he wants.
Well, he's talking about Troy King, though. Yeah,
they passed a law a few years ago about attorneys closing property. I can't remember what it was. 551-0225, 551-0225, thegoodsongroup.com. Get Bo Goodson on the horn. He'll make you proud. He'll make you proud. He knows a lot about what's going on around here. We got the mayor of the great city of Montgomery in here, Mayor Todd Strange, Jack Campbell, Baron Coleman, Dave Mowry here with you on a daily basis from 9 to noon. Sit tight. We got a little bit more of the hour left.
Carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Oh, hey, honey.
Did you forget a towel again?
Oh, thanks for the Arctic chill. I told you to wait to start the dishwasher. Ugh, this is becoming ridiculous. Planning what we can and can't do because we might run out of hot water.
You know, I've been hearing a lot about these tankless water heaters. Beth from down the street just got one from Headley Plumbing, and she loves it. With 5 kids, she hasn't run out of hot water once. They can grab showers, and she can do laundry and run the dishwasher without fear of the faucet blasting cold water on them.
Sounds too good to be true. And if it is true, I'm guessing Beth and Dan had to shell out a fortune for that thing.
Hardly. There are rebates available. It's fuel efficient and cost effective. I think it's time we call Headley Plumbing.
Step ahead of you, dear. Goodbye, cold showers. Hello, hot water.
You can say goodbye to clunky old water heaters that leak and leave you standing in a cold shower. Get a streamlined, tankless water heater with a longer life from Headley Plumbing. Call them today at 285-3667 or visit them online at headleyplumbing.com.
This is Frank Bertarelli with Bert's Tackle Box, located in Wetumpka, Alabama. We'd like to take this time to thank Blue Water Broadcasting for their help in getting the name out of Bert's Tackle Box to the community. Thanks again, Blue Water Broadcasting, for all your great support and friendship.
Call us at Blue Water Broadcasting and find out how we can help grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting, local folks helping local business.
This hour of the program brought to you in part by our good friends over at Alabama Home Mortgage. Alabama Home Mortgage, 567-4223, 567-4223, on the web, ALAHomeMortgage.com. NMLS number 1586368, equal housing lender.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Wiley Sanders Trucking, one of the nation's largest truck lines. They need drivers right now. If you want to know what your home time and your paycheck is going to be every week, call Wiley Sanders right now. Family owned and operated, 855-777-9785.
As we continue to monitor extremely powerful Dorian near the Florida coast, our weather pattern is quiet for the next several days. Hot day today with a high around 95, heat index near 100, sunshine dry, tonight's low 72. Tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, Saturday too, high temperatures in the middle 90s each day, rain chances just about zero through the end of the week and the weekend, and we could be in the upper 90s by Sunday. Stay on top of the latest information on Hurricane Dorian by getting our weather app on your phone or tablet now. Go to the App Store and search Rich Thomas Weather. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Leave on, this is war.
All right, guys, welcome back. 41 minutes after 10 o'clock. My man Troop Booth over at Heirloom Jewelers. Don't go today. Don't go today because he's not open today. He's open tomorrow through Friday till 5 o'clock, 9 to noon on Saturday. But Heirloom Jewelers, man, he's on a buying spree. I don't know if you've seen metal prices lately. It is really, really a great time to search around and find that ring you don't wear anymore, that necklace you don't wear anymore, those earrings you don't wear anymore. Precious gems, metals, stones, everything is just flying through the roof right now. Gold over $1,550 an ounce. Over $1,550 an ounce. Silver pushing $20 an ounce.
Gold is $1,550
yeah, an ounce.
That's what I'm saying. $1,550 somebody think, well,
I'm going to go load up. If I can find it for $15,
hey,
I'm going to load up.
Trivia question today. Do you know where the biggest cache of gold is in the United States? You'd think Fort Knox, right?
Right.
It's in Wall Street, under Wall Street.
Really?
That's what the trivia question said.
Oh, at the Federal
Reserve?
I missed
it, too. Yeah, I missed it, too.
Yeah.
they made a whole movie about it, Die Hard 3.
Die Hard 3, yeah.
I missed that one. Yep.
That's wild. Well, we think it's under there. Might be a bunch of iron painted orange.
Yeah, I was going to say, what a sham.
but if you have access to lots of gold bars, Troop Booth is your man. Get by there. He's paying outrageous prices right now for gold, scrap gold, gold bars, silver bars, scrap silver, whatever you got. Take it by there. Put some cash in your pocket. My man Troop Booth at Heirloom Jewelers. He's on Vaughn Road just east of Bell Road, right across from Do Re Mi Karaoke. Again, you gather all your stuff together on Monday, and then sometime Tuesday through Friday, you take it by there till 5 o'clock or 9 to noon on Saturday, and you walk out of there with a big old fat hairy check. It's a wonderful, wonderful process. Troop Booth, Heirloom Jewelers, check them out when you get a chance. 43 minutes after 10 o'clock, Jack Campbell, Dave Mowry, Baron Coleman here with you. The mayor of the great city of Montgomery Inn. What do we got going on the next couple of months before you get out of here?
Well, I'm focused on trying to get these conversion charters done.
Have schools in mind?
Yeah, it's the Davis Elementary and what's the one next door?
To another elementary school?
Yeah.
Is this one on Elvin Ridgecrest?
No. Davis and whatever the companion school.
E.D. Nixon
would be the first two. Mm-hmm. $1.5 million just sitting there waiting for this first charter school.
What does that mean? Where's the money come from?
Federal government. They just announced the plan. $25 million was in the state, and it's slated to go there. We need the Board of Education to go ahead and approve.
So if you'll do a conversion charter school, any school district, or is there some reason we qualify for this $1.5
million? Well, there are only four charter schools in the state of Alabama.
But I'm saying the federal government's program. What are the qualifications? Just any city does a conversion charter, you get $1.5
million? And to the extent that it gets approved, and the application gets approved for whatever reason.
Okay.
You got two steps. You know, the for Montgomery, the superintendent approved the conversion charter. The problem came with the implementation of it at the local board. In all fairness, the new board, the four new and one holdover, got confused about the timing, got confused about the details, and didn't approve it. And so what we've been trying to do is to go ahead and get them to put an RFP out again for charter schools. They could approve the application that's just been sitting there tonight or next week or the week after. They don't have to wait 60 days. So we said do it in 30 days, then we can get the $1.5 million to be able to go. But it's really not going to be that expensive because in place is where you start with the kids. You just now have, rather than the you have the charter holder be the ones that be in charge, can hire and fire and, you know, if they can go raise money, things like that. But with $1.5 million grant coming, you might not need to raise more funds.
So I'm really confused why the federal government's just handing out money for conversion charters. Why do they?
Because they're looking at alternative education. Because people in the United States generally are falling behind in education compared to others, and certainly the state of Alabama has fallen behind.
They think this will improve.
They've selected four states. Alabama was one of the four states.
Okay, I got you.
And my interest in charter, because, I mean, there's some really bad charters out there, and there's some really good charters out there around the United States.
Yeah.
It's all about the leadership. But
who's going to run this conversion charter?
The
you going to get the radical Muslim Charlotte
Medical?
No.
It's going to be the Education Foundation will hire a national charter.
Well, that's the same. That's what. Okay, is it going to be the same people that run Charlotte?
No. There are plenty of them out there.
Okay,
one out of Colorado is a really good one, and the local colleges are going to be involved. Fulton's going to be involved. AUM's going to be involved.
What are they going to do?
They're going to be helpful to put teachers into some of these classrooms.
Okay. I mean, I'm just asking the question.
Let me just put it this way. What we've got right now has not worked for many years. Mm. Let's try something new.
Correct.
Look, I'm all in favor of trying something new. I'm skeptical of charters because, as you mentioned, there's some really bad ones around the country, and I feel like a lot of people with some bad intentions and bad motives go into the charter school business.
Well, that particular one that you're talking about here, the Leeds, really didn't come from the local group. It came from a statewide charter, and we hope they're successful.
I hope they're successful. You never want kids to fail.
That's right.
I mean,
it's all about the kids.
Yeah,
it's all
kids
about the kids.
There are kids involved over
exactly
there. You don't want them
right
to fail.
This is an experiment in kids' lives, and we got to make sure that we do everything we can.
I just feel like there's some greedy, bad people that get involved in the charter school business, and they end up tearing kids' lives up.
For profits do in fact do that. Not for profits, perhaps not so much.
Well, maybe
take Valiant Cross for instance.
Uh-huh.
That's a perfect example.
It's not a charter.
It's not a charter school, but it could be a charter school.
How do they get financed?
They have to raise it, plus the scholarship, the scholarship program.
Okay.
in the state of Alabama. The only reason they're not a charter school is because of the Christian emphasis, because you could not have a public school with that Christian emphasis.
That makes sense. I didn't think about that.
I don't know that you can have an all gender academy either.
Why don't more people do the Valiant Cross method? If it works and you got a heart for children and you're not willing, if you're not...
Because they're raising millions of dollars a year and they've got a couple
Charlotte
of benefactors.
Charlotte knows a lot of people. Why don't she go out there and do that?
Well, they have been raising funds.
Yeah.
And, you know, Rod Frazier has been a really big supporter. He's renovated that building. Now they're paying rent. He's all in for another charter. He wants us to do another charter. The real charter we need to do is to protect the military and have a charter that would be on base. On base, it really would be a DOD school so that we can have everybody that's assigned to Montgomery, Alabama, or the River Region kid be able to go there regardless of whether you live on base or not.
49 minutes after 10 o'clock, we'll finish the conversation with the mayor on the other side of the break. Your calls are welcome on the BathInnovations.com guest hotline at 272-9228. We'll be right back. Let's shout, shake your body down to the ground. Let's dance. Let's shout, shake your body down to the ground. Let's dance. Let's shout, shake your body down to the ground.
What do you get with Greg, Rich, Jay, and Emily Hayes? Three men and a lady. Mornings, 6 to 9 on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Morning, sir. Shopping for a new pickup today?
Oh, no. I'm Bill the Electrician. Come to repair your pole light.
Oh, right. Where's your boom truck?
Don't need one. I just shimmy up the pole with this super-duper tree-climbing deer skin. Comes with special safety gear.
Well, okay.
Potentially dangerous jobs require specialized equipment and highly trained personnel. That's why you should always call the experts at Crosby Electric.
I'm just gonna lower this old fixture and, whoops!
Whoa!
Sorry.
All technicians at Crosby Electric are thoroughly trained to safely perform all electrical procedures for your business.
Okay, I'm just going to ease on down now and... Whoa! Oh!
Whoa, Bill, I thought you had special safety gear.
I do. Strapped a pillow to my behind. Safety first, I always say.
Don't take chances. Call the experts at Crosby Electric or visit us at crosbyelectric.com. United for
your comfort. I'm here with Shane from United, number one in the River Region when it comes to your indoor comfort.
As the year flies by and the seasons get ready to change, we want to remind you United is here for all your service and maintenance needs.
If your system seems to run all the time, it may simply need a tune-up and cleaning from all the grass, dust, and pollen buildup from the year. And a tune-up may also save you from a major repair with a major cost, like a flooded ceiling from a stopped-up drain. sign up for a yearly maintenance agreement for around $10 a month.
You will also receive 15% service discount for the year and preferred scheduling.
United can service, clean, or replace your system. With over 300 years combined experience, you can trust them to give you your best options and do it right. Call the number one AC and heating company in the River Region today at 262-0247.
Or visit unitedheating.net and check us out on Facebook.
Alabama certification number 84560.
Noble here with Dixie Electric Plumbing and Air. Football is in our DNA. Score $500 off a comfort system installation. See this and other great offers at calldixie.com.
License number 15033.
This hour of the program brought to you in part by our good friends over at Alabama Home Mortgage. Alabama Home Mortgage, 567-4223. 567-4223 on the web, ALAHomeMortgage.com. NMLS number 1586368, equal housing lender.
Intellectually honest, philosophically consistent radio. News and views from 9 till noon. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
All right, guys, welcome back in. 7 minutes to the top of the hour. Got the mayor of the great city of Montgomery in here, Todd Strange. Got Jack Campbell, Baron Coleman, Dave Mowry here with you on a daily basis from 9 to noon. Got our professionals over at Bath Innovations on the East Boulevard. That's where they hang out during the day. That's where you can go in and see that showroom, that sample. I promise you, man, you get in there to Bath Innovations showroom, and then you walk back into your house, and you look at your bathroom. You think, man, I get ready every day in a dreary, dark, drab, busted-down bathroom. I want what I saw at Bath Innovations. Go by their showroom. Go to bathinnovations.com if you can't get by their showroom on the East Boulevard, directly across the East Boulevard from Home Depot. Go by bathinnovations.com. Check out the virtual showrooms they have. It is really, really impressive. The stone work, the acrylic work, the tile work, whatever it is that you want, whatever's in your budget, man, get by the bathinnovations.com. Look at it, check it out, then walk back into your bathroom again. Take that big, deep breath and just realize, I got to do something about this.
Just vision it.
Dude, I mean, just sit there and soak it in. BathInnovations.com, 271-2723, or check them out on the Boulevard, BathInnovations.com. Our number, 272-9228, on, incidentally enough, the BathInnovations.com guest hotline. Who's this?
Red Top again. Nobody's calling asking questions. Golly Moses, folks.
It's the day after a holiday. Nobody cares.
Yeah, but Baron doesn't want anybody calling.
That's a good point.
he says, no, you can't ask a question. Goodbye.
I do say that a lot.
Mayor, I know during your administration, you tried to get more highway funds in all for Montgomery, much to our disappointment. But in the future, let me ask your opinion on the future of the outer loop, which I feel Montgomery now is at a stalemate of growth. We are kind of holding all we can handle for infrastructure reasons more than any. Don't you think if we already have the cloverleaf down there at 65 at the airport to connect to the Troy Highway and go around that bottom and east loop, it would spur a tremendous amount of growth and development in this town to that whole area that basically has nothing in it. Isn't that an incentive enough for the folks around the government and the funding to get something like that finished so we can get not only relief from the traffic, but some new development in the area?
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely. What that would cause is to start at the other end and work that away. The efforts to get the outer loop going, it won't happen with direct appropriations. There are some grant opportunities that we have been trying for 2 years now. There's a third opportunity, about $30 million. That's it's kind of Build America, if you will. If we can get that, then we can take and get it from Vaughan 110 all the way to 231 in two different phases, and it would be at grade. Four-lane would not be a limited access, but you only have a couple of access points along the way. That is the present thinking. The MPO with the city, the county, and Pike Road have committed $8 million as the match to a $25 million grant. It's over $32, $33 million to be able to accomplish that. We came very close in the last cycle. We know why we didn't get it last time. Mobile has been successful getting it, not for the toll road, but we feel pretty confident that we're going to be able to get that in the early 2020 time frame, and that will then jumpstart that next development. And as I said, trying to get it to 231, that gets the trailers off of truck trailers off of Taylor Road. It gets it off of the southern part of the county. It helps the interchange at I-85 and I-65 where they all crash along the way. So it'd be a really good shot in the arm for all of that development down there and safety and security in the city of Montgomery.
It would, and I know you've been trying to do this your whole damn administration, and I appreciate it. These guys got you hogtied and gagged half the time, I'm sure. And that's a pretty damn good description, isn't it?
Are you talking about the three guys in here? Are you talking about Washington, D.C., or are you talking about the state DOT?
Maybe a little bit of both of the gang. Well, but
Let me say this, Red Top. I came from the beach yesterday, and I was doing really fine, going to be home in 3 hours till I hit Evergreen, Georgiana. It took me over an hour and a half to get from there here. That tells me we got to have more infrastructure. Doug Jones was in town today at the Eggs and Issues. I asked him if he thought there was going to be a highway bill, an infrastructure bill at the federal government. And he said not before this election. But we are poised as a state and as a local community to provide the matches for these interstate expansions and new structure. We've got to get something done at 85, 65. The cheapest way to do it is to do that $30 million grant. The most expensive way to do it is redesign that, and you're talking in the $75 million range.
Appreciate your call. 272-9228. If you want to get in Miami, you're on the air with the mayor.
Good morning, Mayor Strange. How are you today?
We're good. Thank you.
Well, first, thank you very much for, you know, putting your boots to the fire by coming on a regular basis and fielding all these questions. I have the utmost respect for you, of course.
Thank you.
I do have a question for you. Earlier, you had spoken when they were discussing the election.
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm a big fan of guarantees. I love guarantees. But with the role of the mayor, your office, what is the role of the mayor's office when it comes to the elections? And how can you give such a found, firm, confident guarantee that there was no shenanigans on this election?
Yeah, normally in a mayoral election, you wouldn't have any responsibility because you would be involved in it, just as we have some others. The city clerk, in fact, is the one that's in charge of that. But for the last 20 or 25 years, city elections have been contracted to the election center. They own the equipment. City did not spend the millions of dollars to get the equipment. And we pay them, I can't remember the right numbers, $300,000+ to run that particular election. The reason that I am so confident in this one was because I was in the election center from about 8:30, because I had been getting some reports that there was some breakdowns in some of the process, some procedures. But I was there